On the line is Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet, and the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app and catch You Better You Bet weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on the BetQL network and watch from 6 to 7 p.m. on NBC Sports Now on Peacock.
NBC Sports on Peacock. That's our guy. Way to go, Nick.
Thanks, guys. What's going on?
We're getting pumped up about the Super Bowl. Chiefs in white. I don't know if that means anything. Apparently, white teams in white have won 16 of the last 20 Super Bowls or something ridiculous. What does that mean to you?
I want to bet on Patrick Mahomes, whatever color he's wearing. So if he's in white, he's in red. They could have like their alternate, like purple uniforms, and I will be interested in betting the Chiefs, whatever color the big guy wearing number 15 is wearing. That's what I'll be interested in betting on in the Super Bowl.
I'd say that's probably a pretty good idea. I think so. That's where you're looking right now?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it with you guys consistently all season. I said it on my show, You Better You Bet, back in August. And look, like, I didn't have to be right. It just turns out that I'm, you know, a game away and I'm favored in the game, which is awesome. I felt like Kansas City was going to three-peat. I felt like they had reloaded sufficiently this offseason, and we didn't really see it throughout the regular season. It took Xavier Worthy time to get up to speed. Hollywood Brown basically didn't play at all in the regular season, and now they're basically operating at full strength, at full capacity. Everybody's healthy. And the interesting thing, guys, I think about the game, the Eagles are better than the Chiefs. Like, they are. 1 through 53, like, Philadelphia is a better roster. They have more really good players. But Kansas City has the great equalizer, obviously, in the quarterback. Not that Jalen Hurts is bad. I actually think he's way better than a lot of people do. But he's not Mahomes, and that's not an insult to say that. And Kansas City has the best coach, and Kansas City has the best defensive coordinator. So I think that those factors push the Chiefs over the finish line in what's a really small point spread game. So I am on Kansas City, guys, coming up in the Super Bowl.
All right, Nick, let me ask you this, because we love talking about it. I just wonder, I'm not saying you want to stick your nose up in the air to prop bets, but I'm just curious your thoughts as a professional on this, what you think of prop bets, and you know if there's anything out there you find interesting.
Is there a hot one?
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course. There's a million prop bets that are really fun. I'm in the weeds.
I'm just saying, do you find them interesting?
Yeah.
Or do you kind of think like, oh, they're just so gimmicky? I can't deal with it.
Okay. Yeah, look, like the Super Bowl is. I will say this to start. Like, bet responsibly. Like, I'm gonna bet on stuff on Super Bowl Sunday that I never bet on the rest of the year. Like, I bet the coin toss every year. I bet tails. Oh yeah, absolutely. Huh. Why not? Yeah, it's awesome.
You got 50-50 shots, so yeah.
And then you get charged a VIG, which is really funny, right? On a 50-50 bet.
Right.
So, like, the sports book is going to win. That's okay. Like, you go, you make the bet knowing going in, like, is this the best mathematical wager I could make? No, it's actually quite poor, but you make it anyway because it's fun, or I make it anyway because it's fun. Okay. You could bet on, like, what Gatorade color is going to get dumped on the coach that wins. Like, stupid stuff that you would never bet on regularly, but because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and again, bet responsibly. Throw $20 on it and give yourself a nice sweat when the camera goes to the coach. They've got the Gatorade. You're waiting to see what the color is. That's a fun little sweat. And we haven't even gotten to, like, the actual game stuff, like, oh, receiving yards, rushing yards, touchdowns, stuff of that nature. So, no, this is it's a celebration of gambling, Super Bowl Sunday. As always, bet responsibly. But, yeah, like, I get a little loose for sure on Super Bowl Sunday with the bets.
That's kind of fun. Are you surprised at the way that anything went in the conference championship games?
I guess I'm a little surprised that the Commanders got blown out the way they did. But, I mean, you can't put the ball on the ground as much as they did and expect to win. I do think it was an authentic win for the Eagles, you know, because, you know, I bet Washington in the game. And in the third quarter, I'm thinking, I'm going to be really mad when this game's over because the Commanders had every opportunity to at least cover the spread, if not win the game outright. And then the Eagles just avalanched them at the end of the game and turned out to be a pretty authentic win. So I'm not surprised that the Eagles won. You know, I came on with you guys last week. Like, my big position, like, my big thought, my big bet on Championship Sunday was the Chiefs. And am I surprised they won? No, because they always win, and the Bills always lose. So, yeah, like, I felt pretty good about that. I was not surprised by the result.
Do you think the matchup matters as far as total dollars being spent in gaming? Everyone wants to sit here and talk about, you know, like, this Chiefs burnout. And I'm just not buying it. I think people are still watching the game no matter who's playing in it, and it doesn't matter that they're going for three.
I don't know. This is what I'll say to everybody out there. Did you watch all the Patriots Super Bowls?
Fair point. Fair point.
That's like, a really good point.
Like, what about like the Cowboys in the 90s or the Niners in the 80s? Like, we're all going to be watching. So, no, I don't buy that for 1 second. I think I call it CDS, Chiefs Derangement Syndrome. everyone hates them now and hates them to the point. And, like, I understand. Look, I grew up a Knicks fan. I think Cavs fans can kind of commiserate with this a little bit. Not quite the same thing. How many times did Jordan beat you guys in the playoffs? Obviously had the shot over Elo. Like, how many other times?
Can't remember. I believe it was
either
mind.
Three or four times.
He ruined my childhood as a Knicks fan. Like growing up in the 90s.
Didn't do much for us either.
Yes. I understand.
We're all in the big same therapy session.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys at least have won a championship since I was born. My team is not the New York Knicks.
You want a bad day? Sit down with Mark Price and Larry Nance and Craig Elo and Brad Doherty and mention the name Michael Jordan.
I will say, though, I loved using the Cavs in the NBA Jam. Mark Price, great three-point shooter. I always found it funny that Brad Doherty, like great North Carolina, like, was the number one pick in the draft, right? Yep. And then became like a NASCAR analyst, which I thought was pretty funny.
No,
those Cavs, and Larry Nance, awesome in-game dunker, Larry Nance Sr., right?
Correct.
In any event, I'm just flexing my sports knowledge.
Good
Sorry.
Job.
Nice job.
It's not bad, right? Yeah, I love sports. So I grew up watching the Bulls, like, kill the Knicks, and I hated it. And they got all the calls, just like the Chiefs do. But look, this is what happens in sports. You know, like, LeBron got a ton of calls when he was with the Cavs. He's, just, like, the second best player ever. Like, this is what happens. Like, Brady got all the calls, duh. Like, I'm a Yankee fan. We don't think the Yankees got calls in, like, the late 90s, and of course they did. The Lakers with Kobe and Shaq. And I think it's recency bias because, you know, the Patriots actually, and, like, I don't care. Like, I'm not a Patriots hater. Like, I'm just telling the truth. The Patriots, like, actually cheated. But they were way more loathsome than the Chiefs. But the Chiefs are the most recent thing, and everyone's annoyed by it. They hate Taylor Swift, whatever. I don't care about any of it. Here's what I say to people. Can I use, like, the hard B word on your show? I use it on mine, and it's fine. That rhymes with witch or no?
Yeah, I would avoid it.
Dan says no, but, you know.
But now we know where you're going, so go ahead.
Sure. You can do one of two things as it concerns the Chiefs. You can witch and put the B in place of the W, and okay. You can be mad about it. Or, like, you can bet on them, the team that always wins, and the point spread is basically that they just have to win the Super Bowl. The choice is yours. Do whatever you want on Super Bowl Sunday. I know what I'm going to be doing.
Adam Silver came out and said something yesterday on Dan Patrick's show that we were discussing earlier, and he said, I'm in favor of 10-minute quarters, which would mean instead of a 48-minute NBA game, it's a 40-minute NBA game. How would that affect your industry?
I guess, like, you know, like, things would adjust, so it's not like the totals of the games would remain the same, right? They would adjust, so there'd probably be some opportunity early, one way or another, and then people would find out what it is, and it would get bet into oblivion, and it would be gone in, like, a week or so. I think that's basically it. Like, it would get figured out. Like, whatever the difference is would not last for that long, because really smart people would figure it out and bet it. I think it's a really stupid thing for that. Not that, I mean, I guess, like, you understand what he's saying. He wants it to be like soccer in the sense that, and I'll say this, like, people can hate soccer. I like soccer. There is something that's really cool about turning on a soccer game, unless you're talking about, like, a world, like a final or something where you could go to extra time and penalties, right? Where there's none of that. And you know the game is over in 2 hours. Like, it is going to end in 2 hours. Like, there's something to that. So I understand where he's coming from there to shorten the games a little bit. But I mean, that we can all agree. You know, he's worried about the wrong things. Like, the stuff about the NBA that pisses people off has nothing to do with 12-minute quarters or
exactly.
The length of the games. It's the stars don't play. Like, it's aggravating. And this I will talk about from my perspective, right? So, you know, I wake up this morning, whatever, and, like, I have a young daughter, so I'm always up early. And sometimes I try and, you know, if I have the opportunity, like, my wife's around, and she can, like, hey, whatever. And I get a little extra time. I try and, like, handicap games before I work on my show. Just, like, look at the games for that night. And it becomes, like, early in the morning, early in the day, like, almost not a fully fruitless proposition, but it's difficult to handicap the NBA, like, even now. So I'm just going to do this as an exercise right in real time right now. So it's a great website, basketballmonster.com. It's like a fantasy website.
Okay.
But what it does is it tracks and updates in real time, like literally in real time, when players are ruled in and out, they're questionable, right? So just, and I'm just going to give, these are the names that are questionable for tonight in the NBA. Like, questionable or doubtful. LeBron, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Naz Reid, Walker Kessler, Steven Adams, Ja Morant, Alperen Şengün, Jalen Suggs. There's only five games. So, like, we don't know who's playing in the damn games up until you get, like, a couple hours before tip-off.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, this is the most annoying thing about the NBA. Like, who's playing in the games? Why do the stars not play more? That's what frustrates me. I would imagine that that statement that I just made has, like, a 99% approval rating probably amongst NBA fans. Like, that's what's got to be fixed.
You know, the strange thing about that, too, Nick, and tell me your thoughts on this. In this day and age, everybody, all the teams fly on charter jets. They get off the plane and walk right onto a bus. They don't touch their bags. Their nutrition is through the roof. Teams provide food. The training is, you know, the athletic training is better than it's ever been. Everything is handled for these guys. Yet they don't play as often as people did back in the day, when they were playing 82 games a year and didn't have nutrition. You know, they're running out and getting a burger for lunch and paying for it themselves and carrying their own bags and everything else. I don't get it. And yet these guys are making unbelievable amounts of money. It seems like it's backwards in that situation.
Well, I'll say just like the money part of it, like that is because of the, I know you guys know this, it's because of the TV deals. Like, that's why there's so much money. And like, I'm never going to fault people for getting paid. Like, if it were me, I'd take that money to not work. Sounds awesome. Like, I do that. So I'm not going to fault them. And look, like, there's, you know, a lot of different factors. Like, what they would tell you is, well, you know, if my body's not feeling right, I want to make sure I'm right for the playoffs, or I don't want to get hurt potentially and, like, cost myself more money down the road. So there are, like, there are legitimate ways to explain it. I think that the NBA should just make them play. Like, that's what I would do. But, like, there are some legitimate reasons there. Look, you want, like, my opinion? I kind of think that we've become, I think we're a really soft country. That's just my opinion. People can disagree. That's totally okay. Reasonable minds can disagree. And I'm more in line with you, where I think, you know, you have a job and, like, you want to win, then you show up and you try and win. And I know, I'm sure there are a lot of people that roll their eyes, and good for you. I feel like in life I'm a winner, and that's been my philosophy. So whatever. Not that other people can't win, but yeah, that's my opinion. I think that a lot of people are soft, and that we live in a soft society, which is probably not the answer you thought you were going to get, but that's my opinion.
Well, we think you're a winner. So yes. Thanks for being with us.
You got it.
Say goodbye.
Was that like a controversial statement or no?
No, not it was at all. A good one.
No.
It's true.
To us,
like, it's lame, right? What goes on? It's really, really like what happened to like the desire and the will to win, like to be great. Now everyone wants a participation trophy, and everyone wants to coast and wants to be told how great they are. And oh, this is so great. And no, you don't have to. Oh, it's okay. You don't have to show up to work. It's all right, losers. wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Coming up in 18 minutes, Askin Baskin and Phelps Helps. Oh, we're just here to serve, Andy. We're just here to serve.
That's it. We're like Andy Griffith.
And that's, well, we're not protecting anybody, trust me.
We're just here to serve.
But coming up at 11:40. And then Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, will join us at noon right here. Akron basketball coach John Gross, 120. Undefeated in the MAC. We'll talk to John.
He's a good egg, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a nice man.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. We just had Nick Kostos on us, who basically called us a soft country and we're all a bunch of losers. And in sports, Dan laughs. That's not exactly what Nick said. But for the purpose of this next segment.
Not at all. I feel like you're going full-blown Niederbayer on me. You're all worthless and weak.
Is that a pledge pin? I think it is. And we were talking about the way the NBA is, and it drives him nuts as a guy who makes his living in gambling that he can't tell you who's playing and who's not. And he went through the laundry list of, who's maybe or maybe not playing tonight, and there are only five games. And it was a long laundry list. And I thought, well, that's a valid point. And I said, okay, you've got the NBA, where these guys, Andy, you know, were sitting out for rest. You know, there's this. He's sitting. And then you have the NFL, where it's, hey, your kneecap got spun around and it's behind you. Yep, but I'm playing on Sunday.
Yeah, just twist it back.
Just put it back there. Your ankle is dangling by one, but we're going to tape it up. I'm good to go. The NFL guys have different attitudes, unless maybe you're a skill position guy and that hamstring is tweaking. If it's barking at you, you know, maybe not. I get it in the NBA to some extent.
You do?
Yeah, I do, actually. And it's this. These guys are the closest thing to racehorses that we have other than sprinters in track and field. And with racehorses, if something's wrong, you know, what happens? You got to retire, right? They're not fixing you pretty much. They're putting you out to stud. You're done. You're not running anymore. You're done as a racehorse. And you don't have a long shelf life in most cases. If you're a sprinter and there's something wrong, well, you're done, man. And if you're an NBA player and you feel something in your ankle or something in your foot, what do you immediately think? I better sit, because if I go play on this, I'm going to blow out my Achilles. Sure. If you feel some cramping in your hamstring, well, you're not going to go play. And I get it, because cramping and it's such an explosive sport as far as explosive movements. You're thinking you're going to blow out your hamstring, and then you're out for 2 months or more. So I kind of get it. They are really finely tuned guys, and I get that. Now, I think it's gone to an extreme. I really do. And if you feel good to sit out for rest, that makes no sense to me. If you're feeling all right, well, what do you need to rest for? Go play. Go play. But if there's something going on, I get it in the NBA in not playing, because, man, it could lead to some really bad stuff.
I get it. I understand what you're saying. But then I also kind of weigh that out against, like, Joe Thomas, right? I mean, what, 10,363 snaps consecutive. And then remember hearing him talk about, you know, like, I had a wrist injury, I had knee injuries, ACL in college, you know, and then finally, you know, left tricep muscle detaching from the bone while making a block,
and
right?
And when he was done.
Yeah. And, like, I can't ever imagine him saying, well, I'm done. I'm just, you know what, that doesn't feel good. Or I've got a tummy ache. I'm not playing. Right.
Yeah, but now that goes back to football players being a different breed. And especially, Andy, I think linemen, offensive and defensive, being a different breed. And they're not making the explosive movements. I mean, they're getting into a fight on every play, but they're not making the explosive movements that, say, like a wide receiver is, or a DB. And, you know, if a DB is feeling that hamstring, well, then that's a concern. If a wide receiver is feeling that hamstring, that's a concern.
Were you buying what he was saying about being soft? Did you? That?
Yeah, I think that completely.
I totally think it, too. And it made me think of, I mean, I'm trying to go youth sports corner on you, but, like, I'm just wondering. Let me ask you this question. You tell me what you think. You're all on board. You can. Dan, come in on this too, right? And there's two ways to ask this question. So I'm going to ask it two different ways. Ready? Your kid has a cold. Okay, has a cold. You holding them out of a game or practice?
No, of course not.
Your kid says, "I don't want to go. I got a cold." What are you saying?
My kids wouldn't say that.
I'm just saying, let's just say on a weird day, one of your kids goes, Dad, I got a cold. I don't want to play. What are you saying to him?
My kids wouldn't say that. If my kid told me they couldn't go, they couldn't go.
Okay. I don't want to out one of my kids. I don't want to out any. I'm just saying, I would say to my kids, suck it up and get out there, to both of them, on a cold. As long as I knew they weren't contagious. Like, that's the last thing you want on a team, is somebody who's contagious. Next thing you know, you're taking down the whole team.
Yeah, if you have a cold, I mean, if you can't breathe, that's a different story. But, you know.
But so, Dan, what would you do? Your kid comes up to you and says, I got a cold. I don't want to play today.
You made a commitment. Get out there. I mean, it's basically where we are.
I don't want to tell you how you're going to parent if you ever become a parent. You would raise a kid that wouldn't think a cold is worthy of sitting out for. That's I think where my kids are. I think that's where Andy's. So cold, no. And if if some kid says, I have a cold, I don't think I can practice, it tells you their dedication level to what they want to do.
Probably means they don't want to play that sport. Yeah.
Right, which is okay as well. You know, figure it out and move on.
Yeah, would you?
Figure it out and
move on. Me. I'm just interested.
Heck no.
But if your kid walks up to you and says, I've got a cold, I don't want to play.
Toughen up. I don't care.
Okay, I'm just interested to hear all this. Now, go ahead, finish.
I was going to say, like, I remember when I was in, like, middle school, high school, like, going to the gym with, like, a snotty nose. Like, you just did. It's part of winter months in Ohio.
I also wonder how the pandemic plays into that, too, because now if you see that, you're wondering, like, I don't want to get my kid sick. Now, let me throw you a curveball on the question.
Okay,
ready?
Here we go.
Your spouse says to you, your kid came up to your spouse and said, hey, I got a cold. I don't want to play. And let's just say your spouse says, oh, I don't think they should play today. They've got a cold. Now, what are you saying?
Yeah, you don't know my wife very well.
I'm not questioning
That's
your
what
wife.
I'm saying. I can't relate to that question because that would not happen in my family.
Okay. I can tell you that your wife and my wife are cut from exactly the same cloth. I've heard my wife say, suck it up to our kids more than I ever thought I ever would. I mean, she's just like, get out there. But she ran track and she, you know, her brother was a really, really good wrestler and she saw the dedication that her family put into sports. And so that's the way she was raised. Like, you got a cold? You better get out there and play.
But that's a cold. If you have the flu, that's a different.
I mean, there are kids that'll say, I've got a cold and I just don't want to practice it. I just don't feel good.
Well, then you're coaching some wimps.
I'm just saying. Dan?
Oh, the lady friend would immediately look at the child and be like, now you're not only going to play, but when you come home, you're going to clean your room,
clean my room,
and mow the lawn because you really need to know what suffering is.
And
she's
then maybe,
worse than I am. I'm the softy of the two of us.
But do you think that we're in the majority or the minority right now? Like, I wonder,
I think we're in the majority.
You can think that all you want. I just don't know if it's true. And I want to believe that we're in the majority, that we're trying to make sure that our kids are a little bit tougher and they're not going to let a little obstacle get in their way, maybe like a non-contagious cold. But sometimes, more often than you would want to believe, that if they have a cold and they don't feel like playing that day, that it turns into something else, that they'll say it's something else.
You know, that's somebody, and this is okay, that's somebody who, okay, when is the end of your run in this sport coming? Pretty dang soon.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Solomon is in Cleveland. Solomon.
Yo, Baskin and Phelps, man. I'm very excited to talk to you guys again.
What is up?
If I don't know if you remember, but we spoke a little bit ago about the whole Ohio State and Michigan, and I asked a question about would people rather have a Super Bowl from the Browns or just beating the Steelers. I was that guy. But I got to get into this conversation because I don't even know where. Am I considered millennial? I'm 42 years old. Is that millennial? I don't even know what the time frame is,
to be
honest with you.
I don't either.
But the thing is, it's like I've listened to the fewer of the callers that you have. I'm going to try to make this as fast as I can because I love hearing you guys talk. I listened to a few of you guys talk, and I'm just like, okay, like the premise of everything that your callers were saying was like everything sounded great. You know what I'm saying? One guy was just like, okay, we need to get tougher. Another guy was just like, okay, we need to get more competitive. And, you know, it only just went kind of sideways when you start blaming the millennial and everything like that. Me, personally, I believe I like change. Back in the day, you had a hammer and a rock, and now you have hammers. I mean, you had a rock and stick, and now you have hammers. We used to ride horses, now we're driving cars that can go through actual weather. So it's just like, I don't hate change. It's just the way you go about it. And when it comes to, like, we grew up with, like, tough parents. I don't know if y'all did, but my mom, I lost my father when I was young. My mom, she took over, and she was a champ, y'all. She took care of me and my two brothers, and she was a boss. Spankings, thank you. I'm pretty sure she'll appreciate that. When we deserve spankings, we got them. You know what I'm saying? She did not play. Do not cross her. You know, so I was just like, hey, she was no joke. You know, she was no joke, Mr. Phelps. You know, she was no joke. So when it came to, like, toughness, I always ask this question because a lot of people say, well, there's softness now, and everybody's so soft and everything. Although we grew up with tough parents. How did we become soft? Like,
that's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, Solomon, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I think.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Solomon. I don't know if it's Like, everything the three of you said didn't make me think that you were soft when it came to this subject. So I don't know that we are. It's
yeah,
just,
but there's a difference between a cold, though, and being really sick.
Yeah, no, I
and,
get
and
that.
And maybe in this day and age, some people would back out for something like that. I don't know. I'd like to
I think you'd
Nick
be
Costos
surprised how many
inspiring
will,
that.
I think you'd be surprised how many would back out. They're just not talking.
I probably would be surprised. Probably would. Daryl Ryder's coming up at noon, and then we're going to find us a quarterback at 12:20.
Woo!
We're going to talk about Deion's kid. Andy, you're going to cringe. You're going to hate it. Absolutely
great.
Hate it. But he's going to love what's next. Askin, Baskin, and Phelps helps right here on The Fan.
Woo!